Hi, everyone. This is James and Florence on the Forum Celebrity Podcast, and we have a very special guest today. Why don't you introduce her?
Yes, we are live from the ESPN studios in Bristol, Connecticut, with ESPN radio anchor Christine Lisi. Hi, Christine. How are you?
Hi, James. Hi, Florence. I'm good. How are you guys?
Really good. And wow, we feel very important. The ESPN background, Christine's at work. We're really very humbled today by having her on the show. But the first thing before we get into it, we want to dedicate the show and give a quick shout out to someone I know that you were close to, Chris Mortensen, who passed away sadly. And why don't you give us a couple stories with your relationship with Chris?
He was so kind to everybody. Like, he always, as big as a star that he was, he never was too big to like have time to talk to somebody about football or any other sport or even like life. I was always grabbing him on a Sunday morning when I worked on Sundays and he was here to ask him something about the Bills or just football in general. And then another funny quick story was when Rob and I got engaged a long time ago, Chris Berman had something for me, Bills oriented. So we came in on a Sunday and just real quick, like they have, it's called a war room and there's like, I don't know. There's like 10 TVs. They all have games on, like Boomer and Mort and Tommy Jackson and all those guys would just watch games all afternoon and then get ready for primetime. And so Boomer's like, why don't you come in and I'll give you the Bill stuff. And I was like, okay, I wasn't sure if we'd be interrupting anything, but everybody was there and I got my Jim Kelly bobblehead. And then Mort comes up to Rob outside and he goes, you know, if you didn't ask Christine to marry you soon, because Mort knew that we had dated a long time before we got engaged, like 3.5 years or something like that. And Mort goes, Barry Melrose and I were going to come rough you up, just like teasing him a little bit. And like that always stuck with me that he was so like kind and funny and just always in a good mood. And I think like when someone passes, how you can tell what a good person they are, there's not a bad word to be said about him, right? Yeah. Like sometimes people take that time to take shots. And like, if you looked online on Sunday, like I was so touched at seeing all my colleagues and just people in general, like how much he meant to them. And it was just, it's just a testament to what a wonderful person he was. And like, you know, he's missed so much.
Yeah. You could just tell a lot of, I was a huge fan of his. His knowledge was amazing, but yeah. You could tell the way he did it. He never really talked down to anybody. He taught even a new, you could tell someone who was nervous, who was just starting, and he was so patient with them and he set them up. He would set them up to say something. And those are the little things that I caught. And I thought, this is a really good partner to be around because he watched out for everybody. So we wanted to just give a quick shout out and just kind of give him a lot of love. So I'm a Raiders fan. The AFL, especially when you have a fan base that the Oakland fans used to be, now they've moved 10 times, but it's such a special family. And I think to me, the only team that I feel that has that old time family atmosphere is the Buffalo Bills, the Bills Mafia. Tell me what it's like to be a Bills fan and just kind of the spirit of the fan base.
I think for some people, it's hard, like unless you're like me, you're born into it, or Rob who married into it, it's a little hard to understand like the connection. It's really like, it's kind of hard to describe because they live in the community with people. Like they see them at the store, the movies, the mall. And I think like you've seen it a lot over, especially the past couple years. They call for like, something happens to somebody, like, you know, when Josh Allen lost his grandmother, or, you know, DeMar Hamlin or Trey White, when he got hurt a couple years ago, like, hey, you know what, let's show these guys that we care. And all of a sudden people start donating to a charity that is near and dear to their heart. Like that's one example. Like DeMar, just when that happened with him, just to see the outpouring of love for him, for, you know, from Bills Mafia and beyond, like just how it kept growing and growing and growing. And then you see like how the fans stick with the team through everything. You know, I've been through a lot of, and James, you can probably relate to this too, like a lot of 6-10s, a lot of 4-12s, even 2-14s. And we always stay. And I don't know, I think for me, like you would be afraid of missing out on something. Like what happens when? You know, when we win the Super Bowl. And then another part about the team's connection to the community is like, with the snow last year and this year, like last year, people who lived next to the Bills, they were digging them out with their snow plows, making sure they got a ride to the airport to get to the Bears game or to get to the Lions game even before that. And this year, when the Pittsburgh game got postponed, the playoff game, like people volunteering to shovel out the stadium, and they did a pretty good job. Like, I couldn't believe it. And I know some people were like, well, why didn't they give them tickets? Well, it was a playoff game, and I'm assuming there weren't any tickets to be given. And I just think that, like, the love between Western New York, the community, and the Bills is just, it's kind of hard to describe unless, like I said, like you're in it or you marry into it or like that.
I remember, and we didn't really have any losing seasons for a long time when I was a little boy until the 80s, and then they moved to LA, and then it kind of crashed and burned. But I remember someone asked me what it's like to be a Raider fan, and that's why I love the Bills Mafia so much. I went to Walmart one time to get some candy. I got off work, it's like midnight, and there was a single mom there with three kids going to the store, and her truck wouldn't start. So I got a jumper cable and I started it, and she tried to give me some money, and I looked at her and I said, "Go Raiders," and she just started to laugh.
Yep,
and
that's kind of
what the spirit is, and that's why, you know, big shout out to Bills Mafia for their spirit. Ezra Castro, Pancho Villa, I got to be friends with.
Oh, yeah.
And that was that we had prayer nights for him, and we had, it was amazing the outpouring of support for him. He was such a great guy. And the love that people still had for him, and the players too that reached out to him, was very special. So it's a very special fan base. I hope it always stays that way. Also, how did you get first started? And I've never heard anything when you get first started at ESPN. What's your story getting on to be on the team?
Well, I started actually as a production assistant in 19. I tried out. They had tryouts, and you took the Al Jaffe quiz, and they fly out to Bristol, and he asks you like all these questions, like who's the NBA sixth man? And I got asked about, now I'm old, so it was the AFC Central, you know, with the Steelers. And the
Browns, Bengals.
Instead of the AFC North now.
Oilers.
Yes, exactly. And it was so funny because, like, sometimes I find myself, I'm like, wait, let's get that division right. And so I was quizzed on that, and I didn't think I did that well, but I did okay. And they hired me, so I worked out here as a PA on SportsCenter, and then I got to be on NHL Tonight, which they were like a series of sports-specific shows at night on ESPN2 in the 90s, which was fun. Lot of experience. I got to travel, and I love hockey, so that was fun. I just left briefly to work in Hartford Radio, Springfield and Hartford Radio, and then I tried out to come back here part-time in radio, and they brought me on part-time in 2000, and I've been here ever since.
Wow. I remember Bob Lee. We were big fans of NHL. He was so amazing, and when ESPN first started, I was a kid, and I'm telling you, I remember my friends coming over, and we just would have slumber parties, and we would watch the same games over and over, and we were just like, this is the greatest invention known to man. This is just great. And I remember how everyone thought, this is so stupid. 24-hour sports? Who is going to like this? And the next thing you know, it just took off. Same as MTV before they became a porn station. But
Well, it's like, do you remember? I don't know if it was actually from Anchorman or if it was Will Ferrell playing Ron Burgundy. He's like, an all weather station. Good luck with that. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I remember, and that, I remember people going, why are you watching that station? It'll be off in a year. And I'm like, are you kidding? All it is reruns, or all it is NHL. Or it was amazing. Our friends just thought this was the greatest thing known to man. But now also, you and your husband, I really like your spirit online, and he's got an online thing that we're going to be talking about on our podcast, Secondary. What is your take on just how huge the NFL has become? Now, it hasn't passed the World Cup. That's in its own stratosphere. But what is this? Must be crazy. I mean, the first Super Bowl didn't even sell out. And now you've got tickets. I'm reading where they may be 25 ticket by 20. It has even blown me away. Did you ever think NFL would get this huge?
It's funny because you mentioned ticket prices. My parents went to a Super Bowl in Pasadena. It might have been, I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
They went to Pasadena and they had the tickets like enclosed in like this thick frame. And the tickets were $25.
Wow.
And like, it's so funny because now I just remember being younger and football would start like, yeah, you'd be a little bit interested in training camp in July. And then in January, it would be done. I don't know if they played like the Super Bowl during the day in the early days, maybe. But it's funny because it was like, you know, 4 months. The season was 4 months. And then you're like, okay, next year. But now it's like 12 months around, right? It's
year
round because like you have, I don't even know where to start. Like you start, the cycle never ends. Like right after the Super Bowl, you're talking about the draft and then guys are getting released. And because you have to get under the cap by a certain date, the league year starts in March.
Yeah.
It starts next week. And it's just like, and then you have OTAs and mini camp and training camp. And then it's just like, it's week one. And then all of a sudden you're at the Super Bowl. And I'm like, what happened?
The ESPN, they're masters at getting people to think something is super important. Some of the stuff as a fan, to me, I don't really watch. I don't like, I know friends that wake up at 7 and watch the 70-hour pregame show on Super Bowl.
Sure.
I can't do that. But I think what they've done, which masterful, is bring in like the NFL combines. I mean, before they didn't even, I remember watching the NFL draft with Dr. Z.
Yeah,
We used to have parties for about 20 years. We had draft parties, and I remember Dr. Z, and it looked like these guys were in a cabinet. I mean, it was unbelievable, and it was very nonchalant. No one really watched it, only really hardcore. And now it's a 3-day event, and they have bands, and they have everything. Yeah. So I just think ESPN and the NFL have really worked well at just marketing it to the average ordinary fans and made it into a religion. And it's amazing.
I think like to that point, what I found amazing was the way that we were able to, and the league too, we as a company, during COVID, when players got drafted at home.
Yeah.
Like I thought that was a neat thing. And James, to your point too, how you make it appeal to so many other people is that you tell these kids stories.
Yep.
And where they come from. And the fascinating thing that I have found too, like in other sports as well, but like the lineage, like did their grandfather play? Did their dad play? Did their uncle, their brother? Like it's like the Watt family right now,
yeah.
Right? Like that, to see that is really, really neat. And I think like you hit the nail on the head, like how the NFL has just become this huge business. And like the salary cap this year is $250 million. I saw when it started in 94 yesterday, it was like, ridiculously low, it was under $40 million, and you're like, how is that even possible, right?
Well, going back to that, I remember growing up at the Raiders. My dad was a season ticket holder, and he knew some of the Raiders, and you would meet them. I mean, Marv Hubbard had a muscle car, and the kids would go and check out his car. And Ken Stabler, my dad had a beer with Ken Stabler. Wow. He would just be in a bar sitting there, and I got to be friends casual friends with his family, who are just absolutely, when we tried to get him into the Hall of Fame after he passed, and they were just the salt of the earth. And it's just like the Bills, you'd meet people. Lester Hayes, I got to meet at Home Depot and talk to him. And I mean, you see these and they're so kind, Cliff Branch and all these people. And I think that's kind of with the Bills the same way, because these guys didn't make a lot of money, like you said.
Yeah.
So they had to get, I remember Dave Casper sold, I think it was Dave Casper who sold insurance. In the off season. So these guys weren't getting rich, you know, off these games. So, so it was a kind of, that's why you got a real loyalty to these people. Also, I wanted to ask you, there was so much made, and maybe Florence could ask this a little bit better with Travis Kelce. And I'll let Florence ask this one.
Sure. With Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, what was your take? What is your feeling on the fact that Taylor Swift brought a whole new set of eyes, a new generation of young girls who otherwise would not have been maybe interested in the NFL, let alone sports or the Chiefs? At such a young age, she literally brought a whole new audience. What's your take on that?
I thought it was fantastic.
Me
like,
too.
She seems like a great girl. I don't know her. I don't know him, They seem like great people. They seem happy. And I'm all for love. Who's not for love? And I think, like, my thing is, like, if it brought these girls or whoever, like these girls down to watch football and spend a couple hours with their moms and dads or family members on Sundays, that's more family time. That's more bonding time. That's something to say, hey, you know what? I watched the Chiefs win their third Super Bowl with my family. And like, you could be in your like 50s or 60s and like, remember those good times, those great Sundays that we spent. I think it's great. And I don't know why some people don't like it. I mean,
what's not to like?
They don't show her that much. Like, I see Jerry Jones 5 or 6 times a game, and I'm like, okay. So I see her for 10 seconds. It never bothered me, right?
Me either.
I only hope that, like, she was unhappy when we beat them in Kansas City in the regular season, and I wanted her to be unhappy in the playoffs, and she was not unhappy. That's all that I wanted. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
No, I agree with you completely. I did want to also ask you, because as well known as you are as an ESPN radio anchor, you're also pretty popular when it comes to your baking, especially online. I mean, you have the most amazing recipes that you're sharing with your followers and your listeners, and everybody loves them. I mean, you get like so many accolades and so many positive comments and, you know, likes and shares. And I see all of that on social media. We both do. So can you just tell us very quickly a little bit about how you started baking, why you started baking, and a little bit about your website?
Well, like you, Florence, I'm Italian.
Yes.
And so like baking and food has always been like a big part of my life. I remember baking with both of my grandmothers. One of my grandmothers is still here. She's 98.
Oh, wow.
So, and she has a sweet tooth. So when I go visit her, I always make sure I bring molasses cookies to her. And I've always had fun baking and cooking. And like, I think it just kind of stayed with me. And like working here, it just seems like, and like you guys know, like being in radio in general, like you work nights and weekends and long hours, and it's not always easy. And like, if I can bring in cookies or brownies and that makes people happy, like that, I'm so happy about that. Like,
they must love it.
You know, I just, I don't know. It's just simple. Like, I enjoy baking, and it, you know, and it's funny because Rob will be like, can you make brownies? And I'm like, sure. And he'll have one. And I'm like, what? So I bring him into work, and these guys like get the rest of them. So it works out pretty good.
Plus, I saw your dog sneaking a couple every once in a while, too.
So cute.
So,
she does. She has a sweet tooth. It's very funny. I was like, my goodness, I never heard of a dog with a sweet tooth, but Gracie does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Runs in the family.
I think the baking is just really, really fun to be able to bring it to work and be able to share it with people, because that, you know, is a different side of you and different part of you. Also, I wanted to ask you, what do you think is your one likes to brag? Well, some people do like to brag, but you don't like to brag, and we don't either. But what are some of the things that you really are proud of that you've done at ESPN that you think you brought to the table that have really kind of things that you'll remember?
I think one of the things that I'm really proud of is that, like, I've been able to be here for so long. I've been here since 2000. And then in 2020, I got promoted to anchoring during the day, during the week, which that's always meant a great deal to me, because I've always found that to be like a prestigious position here. And I've always been very proud of, like, that. I think I have like a good news sense, and I will, like, if you give my new updates are like a minute. And if you give me a minute, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know that day. And I think I do a good job of that. I think everybody else who works here does that as well. And then this is a little bit different, but a couple of weeks ago, Harry Douglas, who's a former NFL receiver, played for the Titans. When he came here, he bought me flowers.
Oh.
Because, like, to thank me for, like, having such a positive impact on the department. And I think, like, that also means a great deal to me that, like, even though I don't think it's very much what I do, that, like, it's appreciated by people.
Well, you have so many testosterone-laced people. You got a lot of egos, a lot of opinions, and it could get heated, I'm sure. And when someone has a positive outlook like you do and a positive presence, I think it really is refreshing. I think a lot, even with me, I wish I was a little bit more positive sometimes at looking at things. As a man, you kind of, sometimes you look at the negative first, when sometimes you need to look at the positive first. So I think it's really important to have someone like you on the crew, and I'm sure they greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, Christine, we have loved talking to you. You are a presence online that we've always appreciated, and we are so humbled and you're gracious to give us your time and just be a friend of you. We've enjoyed you, everything that you've done. We've enjoyed your husband and your dog. And we just thank you for coming into our lives and just being a small part of it. And I hope that we continue that in the future.
I feel the same about you because, like, and Rob said this too, like, you guys are always positive. Like, I always think, like, you put a lot of goodness out there and, like, you guys do, you know, you keep killing it. And, like, I appreciate you and, like, everything that you do put a lot of good positivity out in the world. So we need more people like you.
Well, thanks. Aww, Florence thank kind of does so everything. Much. I just hold on to her shirt tail. She's the one that does it all. So anyway, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yeah,
and we're going to put this out tomorrow, everyone. And we're really excited. Make sure you check her out. We're going to give her all the links to her website and to her Twitter page. Mm-hmm. And we just thank you so much, Christine, for being on the forum.
Thank you, guys. Thank Appreciate you.
Thank you for coming back. This was wonderful. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.